Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 96 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter's first Champions League game of the season against Manchester City at the Etihad, which finishes 0-0. Typically, you hear 0-0 and you say, oh, it must have been a pretty boring game. Was not the case. An awesome, awesome performance by the boys, and we'll get into it all now. So, as always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa. Joined here by Johnny Paterno. I guess the first question I have for you is, if I was to give you a point before this game started, we're going to go in there, we're going to get a point, would you have taken it? Would you have accepted it?
Would the play style have been how it was?
Yeah.
Or I'm not, then yeah, I would have taken it.
100%. The performance meant a lot for you today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the finishing wasn't there, and we can get into that obviously as we go along, but I honestly think that we played them better in this match than we did in the final. Which was,
yeah.
I mean, obviously this was a better outcome given what happened with that one, but yeah, I was really impressed with the game plan. And I don't think 1 point does us justice, but I'm happy with the 1 point, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the eight teams that we have to play, there's the obvious top four in Man City, Arsenal, Leipzig, and Leverkusen. So you feel very good about what you can do against Arsenal, Leverkusen, and Leipzig after what we did away from home against Manchester City. And, you know, whatever we want to say about the Prem phases and so forth, it cannot be denied that Man City is amongst the top three teams in the world. And we went in there, and honestly, for my money, first half, we were the better team. They just weren't, there was no danger to Man City, and we were hitting them on the break pretty consistently. In the second half, Man City definitely grew into the game, and it was more dominance from a possession standpoint, less of a threat on the counterattack, although we did have a couple opportunities. But I attribute that more to the shape that the players are in right now. Very, very tired. Like, once you saw a noticeable dip in our gas tank, and that's when, you know, Man City started really dominating on the ball. But, you know, I don't feel there's no inferiority complex here. Like, we can go toe to toe with anyone. Truly, truly believe that. And it was a good reminder, a necessary reminder, after some of the BS that was coming out after a draw against Monza, which I said, you know, in the previous podcast, it's great to have you back, by the way, but just saying, like, you know, those games are going to happen every single year. It's yeah. Unfortunate, but it's not something that should make you feel any differently about the team. And since we didn't get to talk about Monza, like, coming into this game, how were you feeling about Inter, which is, you know, in the league, two draws, two wins, still undefeated on the year. How were you feeling coming into this game against City?
I was feeling confident, to be honest. I did predict a draw only because I thought, because we're playing away, that they may have like a little home field boost. I think had this game been played at the San Siro, it would have been a victory. That's just my opinion.
Although they didn't really show up as far as the atmosphere is concerned.
No, they didn't. It was more like the Etihad than the Etihad, right? So it's I only heard Interisti, which was beautiful. I wish so many people that we interact with on Twitter were at this game. I wish we could have been there ourselves. I think that would have been awesome. But regardless, I mean, I think that we played a great game, and going into it, I felt like, you know, now that we knew that Bastoni, Barella, Çalhanoğlu, we're going to be back in. I was like, we played a 1-1 draw with Monza. Listen, Serie A is a different beast, in my opinion. Any team, top to bottom, I think except Venezia, can steal a point for, at any moment. So to have that in my mind, you know, those guys coming in back into the starting 11, I felt extremely confident that we would be able to at least get a point. But I thought, hey, you know what? Maybe we can go into this. Maybe we can get a steal. And fortunately, you know, we were able to get that point. We can listen, when we go into the player, you know, ratings and stuff like that, it's going to be perfect because I've got a few players that I want to talk about, my boy being one of them. But man, this was an awesome match, and I'm thrilled with it.
I think also on our preseason pod, we discussed objectives for this season, and I said I wanted, you know, a deeper run in Europe.
You did.
And you know, you mentioned that it's not necessarily your top priority, but having this performance in the very first match of our Champions League campaign against the team that is expected to be challenging for the title at the end of it, like, where do you stand as far as this being a concrete, Europe being a concrete objective for this team? Have things changed for you? Do you feel like we're maybe a little bit more in it?
You know, when you see some of the words and the rumblings that have come out and what Oak Tree want for the club, which is more so a deeper run in Europe because it means more money, more money than what we would get from winning just the Scudetto. Obviously, they're more financially motivated than trophy motivated, which as fans, I don't agree with, but I understand their reasoning. So yeah, maybe this is the objective. Maybe the UCL is the main priority this year. You know, top four is going to be okay for them. We, as fans, we want to repeat. We don't want to see a Napoli, especially not a Juve, get the title. The way I look at it, it's like, why can't we do both? Why can't we focus on both? And you know what? Sorry, Oak Tree, but maybe if you invested in January or invest some money in the summer, we would be able to compete on both fronts. And this wouldn't even have to be an issue. You know, I mean, we saw the dip in quality from what we had on the pitch against Monza and then what we were able to put out today. You know, as much as we like those bench players and as much as, you know, we may say, oh, Fratesi's so clutch when he comes off the bench, or, you know, I'm a fan of Aslan, whatever it is, whoever it may be, you see that there was a significant difference in the two starting 11s. And now it's like, had you just put a little bit of money, we're not even saying like, you know, a crazy amount of money, to maybe strengthen, whether it be, you know, the wing backs or strengthen another midfield position, you know, then I think we would be able to compete on both fronts. But yeah, it looks like the focus of this season is going to be the UCL. And listen, I don't want just another semifinal or a final appearance. Like, if we're going to focus on it, then you better win it. That's what I think of it. Like, yeah, the extra money will be great for a semifinal appearance, but you still go home trophyless at the end of the day. And I think we as fans can expect, or, you know, demand that that we be competitive and get and fight for trophies, not just for paychecks at the end of it.
Yeah, not really in it for the moral victories, like,
yeah,
trying to
let's
stack up the trophy cabinet here. Something that you just brought up that I definitely want to understand how you were feeling about it was, we did sort of, in some respects, roll out the B team against Monza. The initial reports about the starting lineup against City had Lauti and Thuram, you know, together up top again. They had Dumfries coming into the side, Bastoni and Acerbi coming back in, Pavard and so forth. And then, you know, yesterday out of nowhere, we see Zielinski is going to get handed his, you know, debut from the start. We see Taremi is going to, you know, be coupling up top with Thuram. We see Bissek being tossed out there in a game against Manchester City. Team players that I forget who exactly said it on Twitter, but I went back at him, you know, are considered the second tier 11 when in reality, like, Bissek is a starter. Like, he's a starter level player. Taremi is a starter level player. Zielinski is a starter level player.
Zielinski better be the starter from now on. Well, but anyway,
we'll definitely get into that. when you saw that lineup, like, were you of the mind that maybe Inzaghi is, like, because he's not playing Lautaro, Mkhitaryan, and Pavard from the start, that maybe he's looking at the UCL a little bit differently? Or did you feel like how I felt, which is like, no, like, these guys are starters. Like, it is rotation, but they are starter level players.
Yeah, that's exactly how I looked at it. I wasn't, you know, I mean, part of me wanted Pavard there because of his experience. I understand why he wanted Bissek. And you know what? Bissek was great. So listen, like I've said before on this podcast, Inzaghi's there day in and day out. He's watching the players. We're not. We can say what we want as fans, but at the end of the day, he knows best. And I'm not, I need to learn to just trust always, you know, and I may be a little frustrated in the moment, but I need to remember that typically he tends to get it right. I was okay with it. Taremi did not upset me, you know, with him starting. I wasn't like, what are we doing? I wasn't going crazy. I looked at it, and maybe, you know, maybe you see it the same or maybe even differently. But I looked at it as like, you know what? Here's a striker who's a little bit out of form right now. It may be a little bit in his head. Let me, you know, protect him a little bit, shield him, allow Taremi, who is quality. I mean, he's performed in Europe before. This isn't something that he struggles with. Why not let him have this start?
He's been a starter his whole career.
You know, if it's needed, you know, you got Lautaro there to break glass in case of emergency type thing. So I was more than okay with, you know, with Taremi being up front. Zielinski, we as fans, we know how good he was with Napoli. We know what he was able to do there, the quality that he brings, the passing, the shots from distance that he's able to fire off. So I was not too worried, even with Zielinski there and with Bissek. You know, this was a game that maybe I think it's great when you look at it from Inzaghi's perspective that it's like, cool, you are instilling faith in a young center back. You know, yes, he had not the best performance in the time that he started, and you know, he probably has some regrets. And now, you know, you're kind of like, hey, look, I still trust you. We're going to need you throughout the season. You know, that I think that instills confidence in a player like Bissek to be able to go out. And now it's like, okay, he trusts me against City. You know, now that I've did my job, now I feel better. He can trust me in other, you know, situations and stuff, and not just put all the weight on Pavard. So yeah, I was very happy with the lineup. I wasn't like some people I saw, you know, on Twitter getting a little upset about it. I had no concerns, really, to be honest.
Yeah, Inzaghi is performing with essentially a net zero budget year in and year out, and still people are criticizing this rotation. So we're criticizing the decisions that he makes, which I guess is just part of football fandom. All right, before we get into the game, this is definitely not intentional. I'm definitely not trying to rile you up here.
Oh, no.
Joe Cole was interviewed on the TNT Sports UK broadcast after the game. And he said after this, he was asked, you know, is Inter up there with Bayern, with Real, with City to be able to challenge for the Champions League? He responded saying that even with this performance, he doesn't believe that that Inter would trouble any English side, maybe except for Aston Villa. So I feel like we owe it to the listeners of the podcast to just get your take on this. Joe Cole, incredible player. Obviously amazing takes here.
Incredible to who? Joe Cole's not even as good as Alessio Diamanti. Are you kidding me?
Fantastic player.
Yeah, get him. No, listen, he even said in that little stupid rant of his that, oh, no, this isn't English bias. Buddy, it is English bias. Okay?
Yes.
Don't come at me with that. Don't try to like soften the blow or whatever it is. You are an idiot if you don't think that Inter is among the best teams in Europe. And to anyone, you know, I was on Mo's show this afternoon, and you know, they were talking about the rankings of teams, and they both, you know, they had Inter as the fifth best. I made an argument for them being the fourth best. You know, listen, I gave respect to Real Madrid, defending champions. This is their tournament. Let's be honest. This is they have magic that you can't even compete with. And although I do like our chances going up against them, I think that we would be able to hold our own. I'll still give my respect there. City won it 2 years ago. We know. Listen, they have the money. We don't. So I gave it to them. The third team I put in there was Bayern, because even though I think that we could take them no problem, they have insane amount of depth. And, you know, the only kind of mark I gave against them was Kompany being an unknown. You know, like we just don't know really what to expect. But because of the depth, I said, okay, I could put them third. Inter would be fourth. And it was like, it almost felt like I offended them by putting them fourth, you know? But if you really look at it objectively, against those four teams, or those other three teams, objectively speaking, I could say fourth, comfortably. I don't think there is a team, there isn't a team in this competition that I'm afraid of. Let's put that out there too.
Yeah.
I think we could beat Real Madrid any given night. I think we could beat Man City. We saw it. We could have. We had opportunities. They had some too. And we'll get into that as well because of who I considered man of the match. And Bayern, listen, if you take Harry Kane out, where are the goals coming? That's how I look at it. You know, I mean, yes, I think there's quality all over the pitch for them. But I think if you're able to the same way we were able to take Haaland out, if you take Kane out, where are the goals coming? You know, I know Gnabry's good. I know Sané is good. You know, they have Gravenberch, and I'm trying to, you know, Goretzka can chip in goals and stuff, but I think if you take him out.
Gravenberch is Liverpool now.
Oh, that's right. He's not on loan anymore. My bad. Who am I thinking of? Musiala, sorry.
Musiala, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Musiala. Why did I say Graham? Oh, I was looking at Liverpool stuff. Anyway, yeah, I think that we could. I think we could comfortably, you know, go at all those teams. So it's crazy for someone like Joe Cole to say that Arsenal, Liverpool, Aston Villa can take us. There is no doubt in my mind that if we're gonna beat Arsenal. There's not a single doubt in my mind. Arsenal is just Man City light with less talent up front. I'm not going to give a scoreline, but I have one in my mind. I'm not going to say it until we get to the game. But it's just I don't even want to say it's naive. I'm trying to think of a word that's worse. It's just idiotic. It's idiotic to say that we would not be amongst the big teams, that we have no shot against any other English squad. Like, what are you talking about? Have you not seen us the last two times we've played City? The first time, they got bailed out by Rodri, and by some miracle of God.
By us. Yeah.
Darmian or Çalhanoğlu is not able to get even a thigh on that ball to redirect it or block it or whatever. I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, there's so much more I want to say, and there's so much more I really would want to get into with that take of his, but I'm going to try to control myself because, one, I am trying to pack here. I'm moving to Las Vegas, everybody. Got a job with a soccer club, so I'm going to have a new club that I might have to support a little bit more than Inter. But it's, yeah, so I'm just trying to be respectful of my neighbors and not really go off on a tangent here. But for Joe Cole to say that stone cold, like confident, is just, it's insane. It's insane. Yeah. And I don't know what else to say about it.
We're used to being disrespected. But it's like, I don't know what Arsenal has done in Europe that would give you any
zero European trophies.
Like, there needs to be a level of respect and acknowledgement of pedigree. So anyway, let's get into this game here. So there's so many freaking highlights here to go through. It's going to be a mess. But let's do it. All right, first half, fourth minute, there's a chance for City. Grealish is found by De Bruyne. He plays it off for Haaland. Bastoni gets in with an awesome touch there. Haaland was not allowed to do much tonight, but we'll get into the reasons why here. But Bastoni sort of kicks off the grinta for Inter in the fourth minute with that. There's a counterattack for Inter in the sixth minute. Taremi, there's a breakaway. Taremi finds Thuram, but it's a low shot that Ederson is easily able to save. You have a Savinho shot that gets deflected right into Sommer. In the 16th minute, Bissek is charging forward from the defense, feeds Taremi, again, plays it across to Thuram, who just slows down a little bit. You know, maybe they didn't come out with his shooting boots on or come out with his hair on fire. Takes a little bit too much time and drags the ball wide of the target. There's another giveaway. Thuram races forward with a loose ball given up by Rodri. Taremi gets the ball. It finds its way to Çalhanoğlu, who shoots it high and wide. First real sight of goal for Haaland. Savinho plays across into the box. He gets up over, I believe it was Acerbi, and heads it right into Sommer. 20th minute, we're really starting to pour people forward. Another strike from Çalhanoğlu, but Akanji blocks it out for a corner. 23rd minute, we lose possession. Bernardo Silva collects a ball on the at the top of the box, and I think Rodri has his shot parried. There's so many of these highlights. This might be insane to go through. Do you have any highlights from the first half you want to talk about? Or do you want to just talk about these players instead of the game? Because I feel like we'll get into...
I'd rather talk about the players.
Yeah, let's do that. In terms of the game, the story of the game, first half was a lot of really good defensive play from Inter, a lot of really good build out of the back, and a lot of really good counterattacking. Could not finish. Second half was a more ball dominant City, much more threatening as far as their chances are concerned. Sommer was magnificent as far as shot stopping in the second half. We did have a few breakaways, but our lack of speed really honestly showed. And once we got tired, it was kind of like, all right, we're just going to lock in here and see this game out. That's the story of the game. Let's talk about these players. Jan Sommer today. For me, the distribution was really good, really comfortable. Outside of that one, you know, that ball he played in for Bastoni that was a little bit behind him. It was probably not the ball that he should have played. Yeah.
Yeah, that Bastoni kind of like didn't want, but then he turned and he kind of gave it away.
Yeah. That was the one, like, you're playing into danger a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, the distribution was great. The shot stopping was awesome. He made several saves on Haaland.
Huge saves. Huge saves. Foden.
Yep, Gundogan. That was a big one. Yep.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was my. Yeah, he was my man of the match. To me, I think the shot stopping was just so massive. You know, like, and what did I always say about Onana? The rebound control, right? He had a few that were rocketed at him, and he was able to catch it cleanly and hang on to it. That had he been, you know, bobbling it or put it back into play, probably would have led to easy goals or easy tap-ins. To me, that's just as important. Listen, we're going to talk about Barella, and you know how I feel about him. He is my favorite player in the world. And if you tell me he's man of the match, I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to say you're wrong. I'm just going with... probably really who's going to be an unsung hero for this game and probably easily forgotten about compared to, you know, some of the other performances we saw on the pitch. And I just didn't want him to not get his flowers, because I think Jan Sommer is going to go down as the most underappreciated goalkeeper in European history. And it's not fair.
The most underappreciated goalkeeper in European history.
Yeah.
Wow.
When he retires, people are not going to talk about Sommer among the greats. And if you look at his body of work throughout his career, I'm not even just talking about for Inter, I'm talking about throughout his career. He's been one of the most consistent, successful goalkeepers out there. And it's just no one's going to talk about him in 5-10 years.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously wasn't playing at like... he wasn't seen on the European stage outside of the internationals for a long time, playing for, you know, super big clubs up until recently with Bayern Munich. And even then he was brought in just until Neuer would come back. Now he's, you know, the number one for one of the top teams in Europe. Nima said that he thought Joseph Martinez might start today, based on his distribution, might be a little bit more suited for the European level. I mentioned that in the last podcast, but
disrespect.
But yeah, Somer was really good.
I was literally listening to it, and I rolled my eyes the same way I just did right now. I was like, "You okay?"
Yeah. So he had a great game. If you look at the saves that he had to make, they weren't like. Sorry, my dog's going crazy. Hold on one second. They weren't particularly like he had to do these huge dives to get to their like fingertip saves. A lot of it was right down the middle. But he did a good, you know, he did a good job stopping the ball, and he was big for us today. So very assured to have a veteran keeper back there. Yeah, really liked what I saw from him. All right, let's talk about this back line a little bit. So why don't we start with the man in the middle, Acerbi, a player who coming into the season, a lot of conversations around his decline. Some performances last year from De Vrij certainly had me saying, hey, maybe De Vrij should step in here. To start the season, Acerbi's been pretty good. And then today, you know, neutralizes Haaland for the second time that they've met. They had a nice little interaction after the game. What did you make of our old man Italo back there, Francesco Acerbi, ace?
Man, definitely silenced a lot of critics, myself included. You know, I can't knock his performance. I thought he was phenomenal. Really, once again, pocketed what many consider the best striker in Europe. Man, so solid. And he's such a cerebral center back that it's incredible how he's able to go about this, how he's able to perform at top notch. And really, he uses his head to be able to negate another player's strengths. Yes, what he's lacking for in pace, he's able to make up for. And I love the performance. One of the better ones we've seen from him in a little while, at least I would say probably his best performance of 2024 if you look at every game he's played so far this calendar year. So thrilled with it, and I hope he keeps this. I know he will need rest because he's 37 or gonna be 37, you know, so like you can't just keep running him into the ground, but I hope that he's able to maintain this level for at least the coming weeks.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's really slept on is with Somer and with Acerbi in the back, you just have a level of experience, calmness, sort of we've seen it all before with them. Acerbi didn't have much to do as far as distribution is concerned and involvement in the build-up play today. And I think it you know, the fact that he stands out just speaks to how defensively sound he still is at this advanced age. I don't think anyone is going to say like, hey, you know, maybe we don't need to invest in a center back. That's definitely still a need for us going forward. But it's reassuring to have a veteran back there that Haaland scored 9 in the Premier League so far. 9 goals.
Yeah, it's a farmer's league, though.
Yeah, against Acerbi, nothing. So props to old man Acerbi for today.
I mean, yeah, you and I have the same amount of goals as Haaland on Acerbi, so.
That's true.
We're world class. That's
true. I think I could probably sneak around the back a little bit, might use my speed.
I could definitely outmuscle Acerbi, no doubt.
You think you could out? Maybe win an aerial duel or two.
100%, yeah, I'll get up.
All right, we talked about the old guy. Now let's talk about the youngster in the back line. Jan Bisek comes in. Last time we saw him, I believe the last time we saw him was the handball against Genoa. I don't think he took part. Did he take part against Lecce or Atalanta? The thing that sticks out to me as far as this season is concerned is amazing preseason performance. Obviously, the handball against Genoa. Everyone is asking for Pavard to come back. Pavard comes back, plays well, except for against Monza. Bisek gets thrust in against, again, one of the top teams in Europe. He was like super, nothing about his game today felt out of place. Like it didn't feel like someone, you know, bright light shining too bright for him or anything like that. He even combined in the first half. I think he had like a back heel to Barella. I forget the exact action, but
he actually turned. He did a little. I don't even know how you would describe, but he kind of like turned with the ball and then back heeled it off to Barella, which seemed like it was a weak one. Barella was able to take it and start running up the pitch. So yeah, was pretty impressed with his performance for the most part. You know, he did, yeah, like you said, he didn't look out of place. He didn't look nervous. It didn't look like the lights were too bright for him. And yeah, I mean, he's going to be an important part for this club, obviously, with given the amount of rotation that we're going to have to be doing. So happy that he was able to regain his confidence for sure.
He also, you know, at least in the second half, he was really pinned back there. Grealish started to have more of an impact on the game. But defensively, he looked great in the first half as far as, you know, carrying the ball, progressing the ball out the back, which is probably his strongest attribute as a footballer. He looked really, really good doing that. So just a really confident performance, a really confidence building performance for him. I think we do see Pavard come back into the lineup against Milan, but it's so nice to have this wild card in the back. And then when you see, you know, some of the other defensive struggles, possibly you can throw in another team in Milan that's dealing with that. Bisek would be literally their best defender, and he's first one off the bench for us. So it's really good to have that that wild card there. Alessandro Bastoni today. Just class, man.
Yeah, I mean, he really reminded me a lot of Calafiori out there, you know?
He put on a Calafiori performance. His idol,
His idol, yeah, his favorite player growing up. I mean, it's a shame that he doesn't have the skill that Calafiori brings. You know, we would love to have that in our back line, but a world-class performance for sure. And if I ever see him compared to Calafiori again, I might lose my mind. I got to say that. So it's insane what he's able to do. I thought that he actually was very solid defensively. He had some good challenges on Haaland. I think the only time that really, like, there was one time where Haaland definitely, was it Haaland? Yeah, it was Haaland. Out-muscled him and went to the ground, you know, trying to get the ball off his feet. But that was really the only time. That was it. That was the only time that he got the best of him, which, you know what, given that, you know, that was a concern of mine that he didn't, you know, have the muscles and wasn't bulking up. I still thought that he played a fantastic game. Distribution, you know, was great, aside from that one situation that really, like we said, Sommer put him in. But other than that, he was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And I am, my goodness. You know, I know I've said that I've wanted, if we had to sell one of the big ones, that I would want it to be him. I may have to reconsider that that thought process for sure, because his quality and his importance to this club can't go unnoticed for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, he didn't have the opportunity to hit as many like crossfield switches today. I think he did have one to Darmian. He missed one over the top to Barella, but we just didn't break on the counter like that on his side too much. But actually a lot of it was coming from Barella. So, yeah, still an amazingly important player, still super solid. It was good to get him a full 90 minutes rest against Monza, and now he's back in the team. So feeling good about where we're at with Bastoni. As far as the defensive substitutions, the only one that we saw was Benjamin Pavard come in for the last several minutes. He was solid. I mean, there was nothing really to his game. It was that period of the game where City was pretty ball dominant. So we didn't see him involved in the construction too much. He was just basically playing defense, and he did a solid job. So nothing really to call out as far as Pavard's performance is concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing really to bring up there. So let's move it on.
All right. The big one. Let's talk about this midfield. We get the midfield that we've been crying out for, Hakan, Barella, Zielinski, from the very first minute. Who do you want to start with? Because all three were brilliant today.
Let's start with Hakan, and then go Zielu, and then end with you know, yeah, the best midfielder in the world.
Hakan, super good defensively for me today.
What a shift, huh?
Yeah.
What a shift from minute one. When he puts in that kind of effort, it's so hard to not want to rate him higher than Rodri, because I think that he has more offensive capabilities than Rodri. You know, like, so when he's able to put in that kind of shift defensively, Rodri's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But when Hakan plays like this, it's the cherry on top of the sundae with him. Like, he yeah. does everything else that you want, and then when he plays like this, it's incredible. I was so happy that Inzaghi put these three together, and it really felt like that they had fantastic chemistry, fantastic understanding of what the other ones wanted to do. They would play balls into space that would allow the other ones to run into them. They were constantly moving and constantly feeding off one another. And yeah, Hakan was the engine, really, behind it all.
Yeah, defensive stalwart. Most of his offensive game was actually layoffs. Like, we didn't see a lot of you know, sort of that deep progression.
But it was the quick layoffs that, like, you
it
know,
it was quick layoffs. Yeah, just sending people off,
like, boom, boom, like, and just, you know, 1-2s and stuff. It was beautiful to watch, for sure.
He got himself in a couple shooting positions as well. You know, obviously he didn't hit the target, but
who does continuing on this team, to, you know? No,
continuing to show that he's super dangerous still, in and around the box as far as being a goal scoring threat. So great game from him. Zielinski. Wow. This guy, the level of quality that he has versus what Mkhitaryan can do with the ball at their feet, it's a completely different level.
We're a different team with him. And it's a shame that I know what's going to happen for the Derby. It's a shame, because if we started Zielinski in the Derby, we're winning that game 5-0. It's not even a question. They are going to be struggling to keep up with us. You know, Reindeers cannot do it all by himself.
Reindeers.
Yeah. I'm going to call him that from now on. I had another name, but I'll keep, anyway. Zielinski was phenomenal. His passing, his vision, the
that
pace.
That drop of the shoulder when he turned out and, of pressure.
But even, like, his ability, like, I was worried that he would be lazy in the defensive side. The two times that he's played now, he's been willing to track back. He's been willing to mark his man. Yeah, once he got a little tired later on in the second half, the effort was a little bit lower, but I could expect that, because he's probably not used to running that much and having to put in that kind of shift. But phenomenal, phenomenal player. And you could see the level that we had there that was completely different to what we got or what we do get. Look at, oh my gosh, what we do get with Mkhitaryan. Yeah, that move right there.
I mean,
like,
for the people that are just listening audio only, I'm showing the clip of in the first half when, you know, we were essentially playing out of pressure here. Hold on, come on. Playing out of pressure here. He receives the ball just at the top of the box, and just with a quick drop of the shoulder, takes out wholly and completely four Manchester City players. He moves quicker than Mkhitaryan. Our best midfield is these three.
Bro, he sent Rico Lewis for a walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And they let us get him for free.
For free?
They let us add this player to our team for free.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you expect Mkhitaryan to play the derby?
Sadly, yeah. I do think that's what Inzaghi's going to do. He's going to go back to the old guard, the tried and true. Mickey only scores against Milan, so he's probably hopeful of that, too. The good news is, I guess, that if things aren't working out, you got Zielinski to bring on in the second half. So, but I hope to body our our city rivals there, because yeah, they don't look good, right? They got cooked by Liverpool yesterday. Their only thing that, showed up is against the Venezia, who's going to be relegated, and is just going off of vibes at this point. And yeah, get in my perfect world, Mickey only plays the first 45. In reality, well, actually, in my perfect world, he doesn't play at all. But chances are he'll play the first, I don't know, 60, 65 minutes before Zielinski's able to come on. And hopefully by that point, the game will be done and dusted. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Lost Alessandro. That's not good. So hopefully he comes back here shortly. We may need to start a Kickstarter for our boy Alessandro here and get him some new internet. And now you can kind of see my mess of an apartment that I'm slowly packing up. And he's back like the serial killer in a horror movie. He is back.
I don't know what happened there.
I was just saying we might start a Kickstarter for you to get you faster internet or something.
I have no idea what's going on these days. Oh, man. But anyway, all right. So the one last thing I wanted to say about Zielinski, I saw someone criticizing Inzaghi for pulling him off the field. He's not 90 minutes yet. He's still not there.
Yeah.
So that's, you can take that criticism and throw it out with the rest of the trash, because it's not a good take at all. He played 30 minutes or less than 30 minutes against Monza. That was his first minutes for us this year. He played over the international break. He puts in 60 minutes today against Manchester City. Like, he's working up there. So anyone expecting him to get the full 90, while he didn't deserve to come off the pitch, again, a lot of games, got to keep these players fresh and ready to go. I'd rather Zielinski play 60 minutes against Man City and try to stay healthy for as long as possible than play 90 when he's not ready to do so. All right. Nicolo Barella. Is it the kind of performance that you think other, because a lot, this was the marquee game of the first round. Do you think it's the kind of performance where for the casual, not even necessarily the casuals, the neutrals who are watching, look at and say,
they're uneducated.
The uneducated, those who have not yet been christened by the beauty that we get to see from Barella week in and week out. Do you think this was the performance that makes them go, oh shit, this guy's different?
If they don't see this performance and think, yo, I've been wrong about who the best midfielder in Europe is, then they're still uneducated. Because what he did today, I don't want to hear another Interisti complain ever again when he has an okay game, a mediocre game, or misplays a pass here. Listen, nobody's perfect. Nobody. We all know this. But what this guy's able to do when given the opportunity, or when he just takes it by the scruff of the neck, whatever you want to call it, there is nobody who touches him. Nobody who has his vision, who has his control, who has his touch, his ability to pass. This guy is literally a complete midfielder. If you looked it up in the dictionary, a picture of Nicolo Barella is there. And he's not Pirlo in that sense, but I think that when his career is said and done, he will go down as one of the greatest Italian midfielders to have ever played the game. And I am so thankful that, one, we were able to sign him because of the whole, we were worried that Roma might be able to get him. But two, that I get to see him play week in, week out for Inter, and it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal what he's able to do. I'm literally looking at, I got a bunch of his cards that I need to get graded. I obviously am, you know, probably his biggest fan. And Saeed, if you're listening to this, that's the name I want on my kit that you're getting for me. So, but I'm literally looking at him and I'm just blown away by his performance, and it's amazing that we get a player of this quality at our club, and it's even more amazing that he wants to stay loyal to us, to Inter, and he wants to be a part of this for the foreseeable future.
Don't you just know that he's going to have a big game when he starts off with those little...
Oh, we lost Rafa again.
Oh, am I here?
So I'm just going to keep talking. I'm going to keep talking about Barella here. But yeah, I've got about... Listen, I'm looking at one, two... I got three that are already graded. Four more that I want to get graded. And I like to... Now that I'm moving, you know, I'm going to have a nice little office set up. I'm going to put all these Barella cards on display. Show them off for, you know, the people that come over. Here we go. He's back again.
I don't know what's going on. I was saying, don't you know that he's going to have a huge game with when he starts off with the little like tricks and flicks and back heels and stuff like that? When you see him doing that stuff early on in the game, it's like, oh shit.
When he's ticking early. Yeah,
he's locked like in.
He's feeling it today. And it's only going to be worse for poor little Arsenal. You know, they are... They're going to get slapped. They're going to get slapped, and it's going to be with a Barella-sized boot across the face. So I can't wait for that matchup. I can't stand that we have to wait till November to get it, but when it happens...
November 6th. I've already got it locked in on my calendar. I've been waiting. I know the date and time. I'm ready to go.
The good news is, I mean, so obviously with the time difference, it'll be a little difficult for us to get that in. You know, to record that right after the match. But I've already been told by my CEO that we are going to be watching that game.
Beautiful.
On the screens in the office. He wants us to be able to enjoy the Champions League games. He's like, what's the point of being a soccer club if you can't, you know, watch the other games around the world? And I'm like, man,
that's right.
Work ain't going to be work for me. But I can't wait. Can't wait to get that going. But yeah, when Barella's on, like you said, when he's feeling it, There isn't a player in the world right now who touches him.
You know, the other thing too, when we talk about like how complete he is as a midfielder, Inzaghi was actually going to take him off the pitch to put Fratesi on. This is what he said in his post-match interview. And then Hakan was a little fatigued, so instead of getting Aslani warmed up and ready to go, he knows that he has Nicolò on the pitch. He says, hey, you know, I'm still bringing Fratesi on. How come you come off? And Nicolò can play anywhere, and slides him into the Regista role, protecting the back line. So just a really – we are very lucky to have this player. Very lucky to have this player. The other thing we haven't touched on, captain's armband from the start today. Right. This is for until Lautaro was subbed on in the 66th minute. You know, Barella was the captain, and he sure acted like it. Tremendous performance from him today. Substitutes in the midfield. Oh, God. Let's talk quickly about Fratesi. Wasn't involved. Let's talk about Mkhitaryan now. Came on and... every immediate action that we tried to progress through him, he gave the ball away. He was getting muscled off the ball. He was giving the ball away. He skied one over the bar that he should have just... he could have put that low. That was horrible. Even the Inzaghi in the post-match said that the chance that bugs him the most is not the Darmian chance, it was the Mkhitaryan chance, the chance that he's thinking about in the second half. So,
hey, coach knows, you know? The drop-off in quality, though, was noticeable.
It was noticeable.
Extremely noticeable.
I don't want to be negative today, but I just...
No. Let's keep it
going.
Enjoyed, I feel like the vibes
I've not
are
enjoyed
high.
What I've seen from Mkhitaryan. And I thought that he came in and wasn't great today. Was not great today.
Fair.
Okay.
That's it. That's all we got to say about that.
That's it.
Taremi and Thuram. Let's go. Who you want to start with?
Do we have a if our strikers aren't in form, we're in trouble kind of problem?
No, I wouldn't say that. Yeah. I would say it's more so because it's the whole team, right? For whatever reason, everybody has been a little off with the finishing, and it's a little frustrating, of course. But I wouldn't say that if the strikers are off, that there's no shot, because look at what we did to Atalanta, right?
Yeah,
like you can get goals from anybody on any given moment, and yeah, I mean, is it something to be a little concerned about? Sure, you know, like, you obviously, with the way Lautaro started last season, you were hoping that he was going to come into this season with the same type of quality. Unfortunately, it hasn't been there so far. But Thuram has picked it up in the interim, which has been fantastic for us. But we all know that his finishing is also not his strength. Now, it is against Milan, so I'm cool with it. You know, he'll definitely find some way to chip in there. But, like, you need to take these moments. And that's probably the only thing that I will truly complain about, is, like, when you have the opportunities, especially against the Manchester Cities, the Real Madrids, you cannot afford to waste them. You have to finish them. You have to be able to take advantage of the moments and the opportunities given to you. And when you don't, you see how it ends. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not happy with a 0-0 draw. I'm very happy with the performance overall. But the finishing was probably the only thing that if I had to point at something to complain about, that's probably what it would be. But I don't think it's just on the strikers to carry that burden.
Thuram memory, as far as the Champions League is concerned, is the Atletico Madrid on, you know, inability to finish. Obviously, he scored, what was it, against Benfica last year. But, you know, it potentially, you could say, potentially cost us the tie against Atletico Madrid. Didn't show up. Today, didn't have his shooting boots. So, would just like him to make his mark in the Champions League here. A player who has made his mark in the Champions League previously, Mehdi Taremi. I thought he was super, super good in the Lauti role today. Essentially being the guy to drop deep, you know, progress the ball forward, be more of a hold up role. I thought he did that really well. If you watch his movement off the ball, he's really adept at cutting off passing lanes. Like, he knows when to press. He knows where he needs to be. I feel really confidently saying that, you know, Inter doesn't, we're not a two-man solution up top with Thuram and Lautaro. Taremi is very much capable of starting week in and week out, and putting in a good shift for us. Really want him to get off the mark, but I thought today's performance was really good.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. I especially loved his distribution. I thought that he was able to play balls in the space beautifully. You know, it's something that we knew when we were bringing him in, but now getting to see it obviously firsthand and getting to see how he was able to get the balls out wide to our wingbacks, whether it be Augusto, whether it be Darmian, I thought he was fantastic in that role. And yeah, I was very pleased with his performance. Obviously, you know, I'm hopeful that he gets a goal here soon to open his account with Inter, but overall, yeah, he was extremely important to the team, and I thought that he did, like you said, very well in the Lautaro role.
Do you think against Milan we see Taremi Lautaro, or do you not think those profiles are gonna fit together?
I think they could. Like, I don't get, you know, why people would think otherwise. I think that they would be just fine to be able to fit in that. And
I would like to get Thuram off the speed a little bit.
Like, you mean get some rest?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would agree 100% with you. So, yeah, if he was able to do that and have that opportunity, of course, for him. I mean, well, the two of them together, I should say, between Lautaro and Taremi. Yeah, I think that would be, I'd be okay with that, you know.
Speaking of Lauti, today he comes on in the 66 minute, I believe. Wasn't super involved in the play, but at that point we were sort of behind the ball there for extended periods of time. But there is one thing that stood out to me when he did get his opportunity at the edge of the box where he took that shot and went straight at Ederson. They mentioned it on the broadcast, like, is that a striker who is low on confidence and was just shooting to put it on target? Because it was a very easy save. He's scored some bangers, so it's not like he doesn't have the ability to place the ball. Where do you think Lauti is at as far as his confidence is concerned? Because I think the play on the field is indicative of someone who's a little bit down at the moment.
Sure, it's a little down. I mean, the shot, I don't think it was really more of a lack of confidence thing. I don't think he was just trying to get it on goal. I don't think any striker is looking at it as like, oh, I'm just going to try to get it. I think every one of them has the mentality that they're going to score and they're going to be able to put it in. And I don't think Lautaro's any different. But to look at it, yeah, he is a bit down on his confidence. I would say maybe a little fatigued as well. You know, he doesn't look like to have that same burst of energy, that same excitement when he has the ball at his feet and like a almost like a kid in a candy store where he's like, he wants, you know, the goal and stuff like that. But listen, I think it'll come. You know, it's a long season. And that's something that I was saying with Mo. You know, I think these guys are a little drained. And I think that when you keep doing the international tournaments in the middle of the season, so they don't have time to kind of refresh, and you keep, you know, sending players here, sending players there. And when you look at even now the Club World Cup, that's, you know, that's going to be a preseason for some clubs, but that's also an extension of the season for others. And that's something else that's going to be weighing on these guys. And, you know, I think maybe that's something that UEFA or whomever has to look into, maybe increasing the squad sizes so that there would allow for more rotation potentially, or, you know, and maybe doing it in a way, and this is something I talked about with Sean McIntosh as well, where you have to use more homegrown players though. Not something where like you could just go out and buy.
Is this thinly veiled Barenbrook propaganda right now?
It wasn't.
Are you pushing an agenda?
I'm not gonna push that agenda today. That maybe we should do I think we should try to do a Primavera specific episode to kind of help our listeners who may not be aware of some of these guys. But no, like one thing I was saying that with him, you know, it's tough. You know, these are human beings, and yes, we may be the best fit that we've ever been in terms of what players are able to do. We might have the best technology now, where we can, you know, monitor diets, monitor, you know, the way that they're able to recover and their sleep patterns and stuff like this to be able to stay fresh and stay ready throughout the season. But, you know, when you have this much going on, it's not easy. But then when you have a guy like Barenbrook, you know, maybe you have someone that you could just rely on to step up when Lauti's a little tired and just score bangers. This guy.
Yeah. We're just showing the highlight of Barenbrook's two goals today, both just absolute world-class strikes. For those who don't know, just a Primavera youngster that is looking like a Zielinski regen.
And we talked about him in the beginning of the season when we had our questions from the listeners. That was one of the names we did mention of the Primaveras to be on the lookout for.
Yeah,
along with Luca Di Maggio, who I think are the two best midfielding players. But you know what? While we're kind of like on the topic of the Primavera, let me ask you this. You know, and this was something me and Sean talked about. Obviously, it's not realistic, but we were saying that we wished that there would be a player wage, like salary cap, implemented across Europe.
La Liga has it currently.
Do they really? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But see, like it's hard to, you know, it doesn't matter then when you don't have, you know, if the rest of the leagues aren't doing it, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. But like, let's say they did a hard cap, you know, on wages, and then you're forced to have three Primavera players in your starting 11.
In your starting 11?
In your starting 11.
I wouldn't do that. I think it
three
would...
three players from your academy.
In your starting 11 or on your match day squad?
No, anybody could just throw them on the match day squad. I'm talking about in the starting 11.
I think the quality of the game would suffer too much. I'm not opposed to the salary.
Why do you think that?
Because would you rather watch a midfield of Barella, Zielinski, or Hakan, or would you rather have to, you know, against anyone, would you rather be forced to start Barenbrook or Topalovic or someone like that?
If it means the other team are forced to start three youth players as well, yeah. What difference does it mean? I don't think I think it forces you to invest in your youth, and it forces you to actually coach them up and train them up and prepare them to take that next step, as opposed to just loaning them to Serie A cheese sides or Serie A B sides or whoever else.
I think is not necessarily going about getting their players.
This isn't just for I'm talking about Europe, like. The cities and the Arsenals and the, you know, Liverpool, you're not just buying your way to a title, you're buying your way to a Champions League. You're now forced to invest in youth, invest in growing the players within your academy and best preparing them.
Well, I do.
And maybe you focus on one, two, or three to make sure that they are a part of the squad. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. But it was just a conversation that me and him were having, and we're kind of, you know, just spitballing ideas. Obviously,
the salary cap 40-hour drive is interesting because there would be more parity. You obviously would have teams like, you know, we see it in Major League Baseball with like the Oakland A's that are just going to spend way below payroll. But at least as far as the teams that can get up to the cap, there would be more parity across the Juves, the Inters, and so forth. I think the other thing about if we did it across Europe that could be interesting is that you're not necessarily losing players to other leagues that can pay, you know, $15 million a season for a player who's probably worth only about, you know, five or six. You're not losing players to these huge wages. So I think that could be interesting. But anyway, interesting little detour there. The last thing I want to say about Lauti, or I want to ask you about Lauti, is how we've given him a leash to start this season, right? Because he came back mm-hmm. so late, because he's worked very hard to be part of the side, but he's clearly not fit. How much longer does this leash run for you? We know we have the derby coming up next game. I'm going to just pull up the fixture list here. After that, it's Udinese, Red Star Belgrade, Torino, and Roma.
You got until Udinese to open your account.
Okay. That's so you've got two games.
You've got two games. I'll give you a pass. Like if you don't start, let's say he does start, he doesn't start against Milan, you know, maybe he rolls at the same duo. Probably not, let's be honest. But like, let's say he did for whatever reason. You either have to score in the derby or score against Udinese, who is right now the best team in Serie A.
They are.
So
brought to you by the Interviews podcast.
Listen,
we did call
that. That's impressive
that
you did. You called that. Yeah, Matteo Bonetti heard it. You know, he said the same thing. So, game recognized game. But no, like you got two more games. And before I start worrying, I'm not going to trash the player, but I would say I would start, you know, having a concern if you're not able to open your account in one of these next two games.
Yeah. Yeah, we need him finding his feet prior to the Roma-Juventus stretch, which is by the end of October. So, yeah, two more matches in September, Udinese and Milan and Udinese. And then, yeah, by the time Roma, who's now being coached by Ivan Juric, so that should be an interesting tactical battle there. And then by Juventus, you would hope that he's got several goals under his belt and he's good to go. Any strikers come off the bench for Inter today outside of Lauti? No. All right, let's talk about these wingbacks. Darmian, really good defensively today. Really poor effort as far as that breakaway is concerned. I know that Inzaghi said that Barella called for the ball, but even the effort to get him the ball was not there.
Yeah.
Where are you at with Darmian? Because these performances have been pretty good. to start the year. Against Monza, not that great. But outside of that, he's been pretty good. Where are you at with him? Like, still rolling with him, or is it time to get Dumfries in there?
I'm still rolling with him.
Okay.
I'm still rolling with him. Look, that wasn't the best decision. That wasn't the best pass either in that situation. And yeah, Barella may have called for it, but I think you still have to turn maybe to kind of see where you're putting the ball. And maybe that ends in a different way. But look, I hate saying the same thing over and over, but he is our Swiss Army knife. He does so much for us that how can you not want him on the pitch? How can you, you know, if you're going to have a problem with him offensively, then you can have a problem with Carlos Augusto as well, because he doesn't really offer much going forward himself. And yes, he may have a little bit more pace on that wing, but the crosses aren't great. The finishing, I think he scored maybe one goal in all competitions so far for Inter. So it's like, why are you going to make a big deal? Like, Darmian chips in more goals and gives you more goal contributions than Carlos Augusto. So if you don't have a problem with one, you shouldn't have a problem with the other, in my opinion. And I think that he is extremely important to this squad.
I'm going to take the opposite side of that, and I'm going to say it's time to get Dumfries more involved here.
Well, then I'm going to go ahead and say that you and Huyan were made for each other, and maybe we can get him on here.
He's
so you guys can have a little powwow.
I'm just ready to see more offensive contribution from the right hand side that isn't
disgusting
when Bissek is in. Let's see. Disgusting. I mean, it's time. He's been a bench player this whole season, so let's disgusting. Do the rotation and see what's going on.
How quickly we forget the goal that Darmian scored. How quickly that
Dumfries
goes out the window.
Dumfries tied the game against Monza.
Somebody had to. Of course you're going to win when Darmian isn't on the pitch.
Dumfries came
this
in today.
This guy is ready to throw away his Swiss Army knife.
I'm not throwing Darmian away. I'm just
cast him aside. He's like Andy in Toy Story, everybody. He's like, you're no fun anymore, and dropping the toys away.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe we can upgrade the weapon from the Swiss Army knife to maybe something a little bit more more lethal. Let's call it that way.
Dan and Doy's busy. So
yes. He is, but it is time to see more of Denzel. Let's be honest. All right, Carlos Augusto.
Agree to disagree. Okay. Listen, great defensively, Carlos Augusto. The guy is.
This was a monster performance from him, dude. Monster performance.
He was awesome on that left side, and again, he was a guy that I was not excited to get in. I wanted, like I keep saying, I wanted to hang on to Gosens, but the guy continues week in and week out to prove me wrong. And man, what a shift. What a shift from this guy.
We've used the term bulldog before for him, and he just comes through. Like, he's got to be so annoying to play against.
And bulldog is better than, because I don't want to say pit bull, because that just makes you think of Medel, and then you're just basically equating him to trash. So don't want to do that. But he is. What about a junkyard dog?
Let's go junkyard dog. A little vicious.
A little vicious. You don't want to run into him in a dark alley kind of thing. And I'm you know what? Maybe that new hairline is giving him a new sense of confidence out there on the pitch. I don't know. He might have found himself, that little mojo, you know, to feel confident out there.
And even we talk about this every time we talk about him, like offensively not being as great. But even today, like when he did get the opportunity to break away, he put a good shot on Ederson. Ederson made a good save. He didn't have a lot of. It's a different offensive game than DiMarco. DiMarco is able to just, you know, pinpoint balls from wherever he is on the pitch. Augusto doesn't have that, but he's just a super willing runner. Like, he'll progress the ball up the field, put it in a dangerous area. Again, we talk about this every time. The end product needs work, but he brings something that's valuable. He brings something that's valuable. And today he had to go up against Savinho. He had to go up against Doku. You know, and they got around him, not every time, but they got around him one or two times. But outside of that, he's just he was nipping at their ankles, just ready to take them on. And I'm, again, two straight 90-minute shifts, which at this point in the season, you value for sure. You value for sure, especially with DeMarco's injury, you know, coming in to do a job. First against Monza was at left center back. This time against City, it's at left wing back. I mean, just you just got to appreciate him for what he is.
For sure, man. Yeah, he's the guy's such a defensive stalwart back there for sure. And once he's able to get a little bit more on his offensive game, which who knows if that'll ever develop, but hopefully at some point it does. Yeah, this guy's his value can't be overlooked for sure.
All right, that's everyone. Should we talk about Simone? Let's give a little grade to Limone Ball today.
9 out of 10.
Yeah, agreed.
I really don't think you can say anything else. The tactics were perfect. They really, you know, some, I think other managers who have been with Inter would have shied away from this game, and they would have played more scared than Inzaghi did. Not that we didn't play defensively, but I think that there was a lot more of a emphasis on calculated risks and calculated, you know, counters and when to unleash those opportunities. And I think that you know, it comes down to just the way your manager prepares you, and he got everything right. I think even his timings at the substitutions, more, you know, we as fans, we tend to complain that he waits too long or that he doesn't do it at the right time. I think today he pulled the trigger at the right moments and brought on the right players, especially given what we have. You know, obviously we would have loved to have seen Zielinski be able to give us a full 90 instead of Mkhitaryan, but he did it at the right time, because you could see Zielinski was getting a little tired out there. So listen, hats off to Simone. I would have to say that this is the most fun I've had watching Inter since the Treble Team.
I can't no doubt agree with you more. I can't agree with you more. That was my exact thoughts when I was starting. I could not bring myself to go on Twitter after some of the shit that I saw after the draw against Monza, because some of these fans deserve a banter era team. Like, you don't know. I don't know if it's because we've been watching Inter for a long time or whatever, but you gotta have some level of appreciation for what's in front of you. And like, it's not always going to go your way, but at least have some faith that they're going to figure it out, because this Inter team plays gorgeous, gorgeous football. Their manager he's a young, like, innovative, positive manager. The players love him. There's just so much criticism when it's not going to go your way every single time. And you know what? These two games, it's been two straight draws. But I feel great about where the team is at. I feel great about the rotation that Inzaghi has going right now. Palacios wasn't ready on against Monza. Obviously not ready for City either. So we didn't have that card to play, but of the cards that he's had to play, I think he's played the right ones. And I just feel good about the team. I feel good about Inzaghi. I feel annoyed with some Interisti that are really, really, really trying to find things to be critical about, because this is a good team. You're not going to win every single game. And this is a long season, so stick around.
No, I couldn't agree with you more, man. It's kind of sad that we have to constantly point to the negativity, constantly bring up, you know, shortcomings or things that went wrong. Listen, you're never going to be perfect, man. I don't know what you're like. We're not going to go out and win 38 games in the league and then go out and win, you know, however many games it is now in the Champions League, and then go out and win the Copa, and then go out and win the Super Copa, and then, you know, there are going to be times where it doesn't happen. There are going to be times when you outplay the other team and you don't get a W. There are going to be times when you outplay like absolute trash and you do get the victory. That's the beauty of this game. That is the beauty, the unpredictability, you know. And if you're expecting it to be the same thing week in and week out, then what's the point of watching if you're not going to be willing to just, you know, take some of this with a grain of salt or enjoy what you're seeing at your... I tweeted out, this is the most fun that I've had watching a 0-0 draw possibly ever.
Yeah.
It was not boring. It was not like an
old chess match, Mourinho. Man. Like for people that enjoy it wasn't football, like it was really interesting to watch. If people these were watch two that geniuses and say it's
going at it,
people watch that saying it's a defensive performance. Like, no, it's not. It's like this is the flow of a football match. They have two different styles. It was very, very compelling football. Very, very compelling football.
Yeah, and like EPL fans want it to be, you know, a 5-4 blowout, barn burner. Everyone's, you know, going back and forth, back and forth. Nobody knows how to defend. There's just chaos in the midfield, chaos of, you know, kick and runs. No, this was a beautiful game tactically from both sides. You know, these are two managers that are on the top of their game, and they know what they're doing, and they know how to compete with one another. And, you know, we're literally a Lukaku mistake away from, you know, who knows what ends up in that Champions League final.
Having and now the advantage.
I mean that's exactly possible too, you know. And you know what, we're probably an inch away if you look at the replay, where if, you know, Çalhanoğlu gets his knee out in the way, boom, you're blocking that shot, and we're still playing. You know, it's like, this is everything you could have asked for aside from the finishing on Inter's side. And I am thrilled with the direction that we're going in, and that we were able to put in this type of performance. And if you can't appreciate that as a fan, then I don't know what to say. Maybe go watch, I don't know, pickleball or something else, because you're never going to be satisfied with this club then. And this is a high right now for us. You need to remember the lows that we had. Let's enjoy it while we have it.
Yep. I mean, some of these fans don't remember the likes of Ishak Belfodil. They don't remember
what it was like
Taider.
To watch Safir Taider. Seeing that guy run on the pitch.
It could be so much worse.
It could literally be Taider, Melo, and, you know, Medel right now in the midfield.
Man.
Like we what we have at our disposal right now is, it's a gift. It's a gift. We are witnessing the best midfielder in Europe playing for our club. Let's enjoy it. We have one of the best center backs in the world playing for our club. We have a potential Ballon d'Or winner. Probably not, but the potential's there playing for our club. And yet you're still finding things to complain about. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, yes, there aren't going to be things that bother us throughout the year. Of course. Yeah. Of course. But, like, let's do it when there's an actual reason to complain, not something that...
There's valid criticism, and then there's bitching. And I just... I'm more so...
You know what? That's well said.
Yeah. I'm more so addressing... Because I had, you know, again, like, tweeted today. I criticized Mkhitaryan. Like, there are things to criticize, and then there's just bitching for the sake of bitching. So, anyway, Sean, this goes out to you at Nerazzurri Pirlo. Be grateful, man. Be grateful. Hashtag grateful 2K24. All right, we got
I had no idea where you're going with that, but yes.
Yeah. We have the Milan derby coming up. That should be good. And then we enter into a stretch of games that, you know, we should gain some more confidence and hopefully get Lautaro on the score sheet, get Taremi on the score sheet, get Zielinski more minutes under his legs, potentially even supplanting Mkhitaryan in the lineup for good. A Palacios debut would be nice, one of these games. And yeah.
Maybe not this one, but yeah, one of them. You know what? When's our first Coppa Italia game? Do we know?
Oh, yeah, Coppa Italia. Josep Martinez has got to get himself into one of these games, too.
I want to see two debuts. So I'm actually pulling it up. And also, do you think we should try to get somebody in for the Milan episode?
Yeah. We're closing in on our 100th episode, too, Johnny.
I mean, I can think of one person that probably has to be a part of the 100th episode.
This is 96, right?
This is 96.
All right, 97, 98, 99, 100 is Inter Torino post-match.
if we don't do anything.
Post-match Inter-Torino. Okay. Okay.
Maybe a panel. So maybe when do we ask play Sharma, so Nima?
So December is when potentially we could get Josep Martinez. Hopefully it's not that long of a wait for the poor guy. But also I think, you know, with the way Sommer's playing, maybe it should be.
We have any announcements?
No. I do gotta ask. I gotta make sure Sean got his cards though. I did send those.
I've had some folks also ask me about the jersey, the interviews jersey.
Yeah, I've had it too, and I don't know if we're gonna do that again, to be quite honest. The shipping costs, like, I came out in the red, man. I can't be coming upside down on stuff that, you know, when you have to shell out that kind of money, it's especially when you're not working. I mean, now that I got this new job, that's different. But when you weren't working to do that, that didn't. I'm still feeling the ramifications of that. So
maybe in the future we'll do some other shirts that people can get involved.
Maybe we could find now that I'm going to be working in footy, if I can build some relationships with some kit making brands, maybe I could find a way to do something like that again. But not that I wouldn't want it. Jersey Bird was fantastic. I don't know if I'd want to really change it up, or I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. The t-shirts are still on sale though. The t-shirts are still out there if you want them. You know, I put the video out.
Should the title of this episode be "Is Lauti's Cold Streak Hurting T-Shirt Sales"?
I guess we. You know, I'll do that. I'll call it that. I'll name the episode that. But yeah, no, I do want to come up with something where, like, we actually put the podcast brand on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
And find a way to we didn't do it with this one because it was a joint one with. You know, Interclub Boston, who, man, shout out to them for that design. It's beautiful. Shout out JR Bell for making gorgeous shirts. Man, she is talented. She is talented. And you still got the code interviews15 to take $15 off your price there. Or maybe it's, yeah, interviews15 of the shirt. So, you know, use it, man. Use it. Get out there. Buy that shirt if you can, if you want it, obviously. Maybe we'll come up with something for Barella next. I think he's due.
He's earned it.
But yeah, that's really it. That's really it. I mean, it's gonna be a little tough probably the next couple weeks with my move and everything. And actually, you know what? Hold on. Before I say anything else, let me check one thing because I might have to run something by you, sir. Let's see what we got here. So I'm going to be there in... All right. Let's make a plan. Saturday, September 28th, 9 a.m. We get together to watch the game somewhere. I'm going to be in New York.
You're going to be in New York?
I'm going to be in New York.
Let's go. September 28th. Udinese. Wow, a top of the Udinese table clash. What a game.
Let's figure out some place to watch it. Maybe we can invite some Interisti who are
for sure
in the area. We could find a place where we could all watch it together. And you and I probably won't be able to record the podcast till Sunday, just because that Saturday is also my my fantasy hockey draft. So I'll be a little busy at night. But I definitely want to, you know, before I move out to Vegas, I want to be able. Guys, this is me and Alessandro have never actually hung out in person.
Never met in person.
So
you would never guess it based off of the chemistry, but
I know. Listen, it's a talent when you're like us, but yeah, let's do that. And yeah, if you guys are gonna be in town, I know Luca, you listen to this. I think you're in Jersey. Maybe we can find some place in the city or something to get together and watch the game.
Maybe we'll see if Inter Club Manhattan will take us. Maybe we'll do a live stream. Who knows?
Who knows?
Let's figure it out.
All right, let's do it for real. We got 10 days to figure it out, so.
Works for me. All right.
All right, man.
This has been your post-match reaction of Inter Manchester City. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.